Hi, welcome to a Standler podcast on the medium-term budget policy statement that the Minister of Finance released this afternoon. And to unpack some of the detail within that, particularly as it relates to state-owned enterprises, as well as South Africa's credit rating, I'm joined by Taryn Sankar, who's the head of credit for fixed income within Standler. Taryn, overall, before we get into some of the detail around state-owned enterprises and the credit rating, what was your overall take of the medium-term budget? Was it kind of in line with what you expected, or were there some areas of disappointment?
Thanks, Kevin. The budget overall, I think, was in line with expectations in terms of continuing on the path of, I guess, fiscal consolidation and taking a hard line on state-owned enterprises. The undershoot in revenue collection and the slight overshoot in expenditure, I think we did see some of that coming when we started looking at the history of revenue collection. And I guess what is comforting is that a surplus will be maintained over the medium-term expenditure framework. And we believe that's a really key component to debt stabilization.
Taryn, if we drill down into the discussion on state-owned enterprises, I felt looking at the medium-term budget that while the minister is saying that infrastructure is important to lift growth, that there is a focus on using state-owned enterprises to drive some of that infrastructure development, it was very light on detail regarding the balance sheet of state-owned enterprises. Many of them are struggling. Many of them obviously would love to get additional funding. But the minister didn't seem to provide any clarity on how they're going to be put in a better financial position.
Absolutely agreed, Kevin. I mean, I think this budget is noteworthy for, I guess, its lack of depth, really, on SOEs. On the one hand, it's certainly credit positive that there are no additional bailouts for state-owned enterprises like Eskom, Transnet, Denal, or even the post office. But on the other hand, there does seem to be a lingering gap or an elephant in the room around how those balance sheets will sustainably be restructured in order to repay the debt that they already carry. And Transnet is a great example of where it appears the minister is in a little bit of a information gap, where, or the rather, the minister is hamstrung by an information gap where the network statement is only going to be released at the end of the year. And the most critical element of that, in our view, is clarity around tariffs that would allow the private sector to participate in the rail network. And so absent that detail on tariffs, it's very difficult to be able to determine what is the level of support that Transnet might need. Similarly, when it comes to Eskom, the detail that we did see in the budget related largely to the municipal debt relief. And while some of the figures appear encouraging, really, at face value, I mean, the fact that, you know, of the municipalities that have signed up for this debt relief, 76% of them are now complying with the conditions in order to have a portion of their debt written off. So this compares favorably to the 55% that we noted when we last chatted about the budget. But the reality is that only one municipality of the 70 that have applied for debt relief has actually had a third of their debt written off. And so the concern here really is that the government support for Eskom ends at the end of March 2026. And so that's a lot of municipalities that need to still comply with conditions in order to have their debt written off so that Eskom can actually use that money to do the necessary maintenance and infrastructure spending. So fully agreed, positive at face value, but the devil is always in the details when it comes to these SOEs.
So in a sense, Taryn, there's a little bit of a holding pattern here for some of the SOEs where you're waiting for a bit more information, in the case of Transnet, a clearer understanding of their network statement and how they proceed with partnering with the private sector. But for other SOEs, it does feel that the government is simply not in a position to either willingly help or actually financially provide a leeway to give them any support. And I'm thinking particularly of the post office.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's been a lot of focus in this MTBPS on infrastructure and funding of infrastructure. There was an annex that was quite interesting, and it spoke about new funding models. So National Treasury is very clearly kind of thinking creatively about how to blend government funding, concessional funding, and then private sector funding in order to support infrastructure more broadly in the country. So the independent transmission projects that were outlined as being one of the key focus areas for this blended finance model, but I think also municipalities in general. And so there's been a lot of focus in terms of the support to the municipalities and state-owned enterprises, focusing on reducing red tape to accelerate private sector participation and creating the conditions for the private sector to participate more meaningfully, as opposed to these are the entities that are in dire need of bailouts and these bailouts will come at any cost.
So, Taryn, from your perspective, obviously we're waiting for a lot of information on state-owned enterprises in terms of their balance sheet and government's willingness to fund them. But it does, in the end, require that the private sector gets involved if we're going to develop South Africa's infrastructure more fully. From your perspective, how much interest is there from the private sector to re-engage in funding state-owned enterprises?
So there certainly has been a return of demand for SOE and state-owned enterprise debt instruments, really. We've seen that in the listed credit market, where we have entities that are really issuing very successful auctions, which are well oversubscribed and clearing below the lower end of price guidance, which is quite a significant turnaround if you think about the last few years, where we've seen a real absence of state-owned enterprise in the listed credit market. And similarly, from an infrastructure perspective, you know, all these mechanisms around blended finance and de-risking, investments in the transmission network, for example, is really brought about through collaborations with the private sector, entities like the World Bank and National Treasury. So the private sector remains, and certainly institutional asset managers remain, you know, very open to collaborating with National Treasury and others in terms of funding this infrastructure gap.
So, Taryn, can we just finish off with a discussion around what this means for our credit rating? Obviously, we get credit rating for the SOEs, we get credit rating at a sovereign level. From my perspective, the sovereign credit rating obviously has been depressed now for some time. There hasn't really been appetite from the rating agencies to give us any positive outlooks. In terms of this medium-term budget, it feels like there's a little bit of fiscal slippage. The deficit is slightly bigger. The debt level has actually gone up. What's your interpretation of what this means from a credit rating perspective?
Sure. So there has been fiscal slippage, minor from a debt to GDP perspective, but I think it's interesting to note that it is below where the rating agencies have forecasted South Africa's debt to GDP to stabilize. So although there's been some slippage, it still remains, broadly speaking, within the bands of comfort for the rating agencies. And this is affirmed by the fact that the rating agencies, being Moody's and Standard & Poor's, both have South Africa on a stable outlook. I think what is, you know, what I'm taking away from this MTBPS as it relates to ratings really relates to, you know, the ability for South Africa to continue on this path of fiscal consolidation. And central to that, as we mentioned when we first started chatting, is that ability to contain debt and really reduce debt over time by generating surpluses during the medium-term expenditure framework. And so I think the rating agencies will be focusing quite closely on, you know, revenue collection, the sustainability of revenue, and how economic recovery post optimism following the government of national unity might lead into improved tax collection. So I think that will be a key focus, or a shift in focus rather, for the rating agencies. Expenditure and being able to keep a tight rein on it has always been a key focus and will continue to be for the rating agencies, as will state-owned enterprises and the contingent risks that they pose to the fiscus, particularly going into the February 2025 budget, where we might well see more clarity around the level of state support that Transnet needs.
And I assume that if we can really generate a higher economic growth rate, then that would help enormously in terms of rating agencies looking at us a little bit more favorably. But that's all the time we have for now. Thanks, Taryn, for your insights. Thanks for participating. We really appreciate that. And I certainly hope from my perspective that this time at the February budget, we get a better story in terms of factors that will support South Africa's growth more meaningfully. Thanks, Taryn.
Thanks, Kevin.